Once upon a time, teaching kids about sex ed was a fairly simple affair, as this video from 1957 points out.
Growing up is a time of change. Everything seems to happen at once.
Uh-uh, the coast at its glands.
Well, you get those from your parents.
Hey, what is this? You all taking the afternoon off?
Hey, Coach, didn't you say it was glands that made guys different?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, today in biology class, Mr. Davis said we're all different because of our parents.
That's right. I meant the way your body develops at puberty.
Puberty? What's that?
Well, that'd take a little explaining. Maybe later, huh?
Well, later isn't a good idea anymore, considering some nasty stats from the CDC. The CDC says last year there were 19 million reported cases of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, and half of those reported cases happened to folks between the ages of 15 and 24. And for the first time ever, the number of cases of chlamydia topped a million, the most ever. Faced with the tough task of trying to teach sex ed these days is Sarah Milstein. She's a professor at Montgomery College, specializing in sexual health education. Hi, Sarah.
It's Susan, but good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, Susan. Okay. Well, Susan, when you first heard about this survey, were you at all surprised?
No.
Why not?
Which is scary. The numbers have been really high for that population for a while. Obviously, the chlamydia rates getting as high as they are is a little spooky, but this is nothing new. These kids have been having unprotected sex, or they're not protecting themselves against STDs, and it's been happening for a while.
Why?
If I could answer that.
Or anecdotally, from the information you can kind of pull out of them in class or you hear in the halls.
I've asked my students what kind of contraception they used the last time they had sex, if they had sex, and 42% said either nothing or withdrawal.
Wow.
So that can kind of tell you that right there. And the ones who are being careful, they're more worried about pregnancy, so they're using more of the hormonal methods, which are great for pregnancy but not for STDs.
Now, the kids that come into your classroom, how does the amount of information they have about their sexual health compare with their sexual activity?
Oh, not enough sexual health. They have not enough information when they're coming in. They're getting caught, unfortunately, in some really bad education in the schools. And I'm not going to bash the abstinence thing, but they're not being taught what they need, and they're coming in very unprepared.
What's the name of the class you teach?
I teach a class called Health Issues in Human Sexuality.
And I understand you taught a class on STDs yesterday?
Yeah, perfect timing.
How'd it go?
A little shocking for them. I think some of the pictures were quite disturbing. And I'm hoping they left feeling like they could get one of these, but that kind of feeling lasts for about 20 minutes.
Is that what works? Really
no.
Disgusting pictures?
It works for a very short period of time, and that's what we know. But at this point, anything to get their attention.
This is something I was wondering. Are you getting to them too late? If they're already in college, I mean, have they formed their sort of ideas about this?
Absolutely. I think I have a significant portion of my population who's not sexually active, and for them it's good timing. But I think that college is way too late. They need the information earlier.
We are talking to Susan Milstein. She's a professor at Montgomery College, and she specializes in sex health education. I'm curious if we can kind of stay on the political side of this discussion. How does abstinence-only education affect what you do by the time they get to college?
I think if you do abstinence-only education right, I think it's great. If you give them all the information that they need but tell them this is the best method, that's great. I think the way it translates into everyday schools is abstinence is your only option, and we're not going to give you everything else that you need. If we gave the kids all the information they need, and we could promote abstinence, but let them get the information, I think it would be better for them in the long run.
I'm curious what some of the assumptions are that you have to correct students about STDs and about sexual health.
Well, about STDs, it's never them. It's always going to be somebody
right.
else. But that's true with teenagers all over the country on any topic. And then closely tied to pregnancy, they're still talking about the fact that you can't get pregnant if it's your first time or if you stand up.
Wow.
Yes, which is not true. Let me make sure I say that.
Yeah, I have a really good friend who had a kid at 17 and could tell you that that is not true.
Yes.
That is totally not true.
On a very serious tip, STDs are really dangerous, and they can really affect your entire life. I mean, I have a friend who unfortunately got an STD. It's not me. and she can't have children now. because right. she has scarred fallopian tubes. What are some of the more serious aspects of STDs that you think kids need to know about?
I think you've nailed one of the big ones, is that for a lot of girls specifically, when they're being exposed to chlamydia and gonorrhea and it's not being treated, because unfortunately a lot of them don't get symptoms, they're winding up with infertility problems later on. And then obviously with HIV, we're looking at the possibility of death later on when it converts into AIDS. So
that's interesting. We were talking about this in our meeting yesterday, that when we were in high school and college, they just scared the bejesus out of you about HIV and AIDS. And you wouldn't even think about approaching anyone without, for almost being in a body condom, it felt like, for a while. Has that changed?
No. I actually had a student ask me yesterday in class if we needed to talk about this because there was a cure for HIV. Which, again, not true.
That's what I'm wondering about. You know, you're happy for Magic Johnson that
right.
he's healthy. But on
right.
the other hand, it's like you see something like that and people think of it as a kind of manageable disease now, right?
Right. And if you can catch it and we can put you on good drugs, that sounds so bad. If we can put you
I know on what you mean. No.
Good drug cocktail, you can live a productive life with HIV. It's not the death sentence that it used to be, but they get this message that Magic Johnson's so healthy, so it's obviously not a big deal. But it is. Magic Johnson has a lot of money for treatment, yeah. which most of these kids don't.
What are you going to teach today?
Today I am finishing up actually STIs and HIV.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck today, Susan Milstein, professor at Montgomery College, specializing in sexual education. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You know, it's an interesting point, Luke, is doing some of the research of this. They talked about STDs, one of the articles I read, and they were saying once upon a time, penicillin was the cure-all, but there's a lot of the super bug idea translates to STDs,
right.
and some of them, the penicillin, they laugh, they scoff at the penicillin. So it's important.
I love
to get
that
the word
clip
out.
I love that clip you started this segment.
Thank
I could
you.
Almost hear the flat top on that teacher.
You have to watch that. There were certain parts that were so funny that we couldn't play. I'll forward you. It's on YouTube, anybody, if you want to see the whole thing.
All right, maybe we can put that up on the El Blogo. Coming up, we're going to talk about Arabic. The number of college students studying Arabic has more than doubled in the last 4 years. We're going to ask someone who's studying it. What's so cool about that language? Maybe we can learn how to actually ask that in Arabic.
Be very cool. Also, the human Iditarod. You heard me. The human Iditarod. We'll talk to one young woman who is going to partake in that race across Alaska. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.